Like leaps and bounds ahead of where we used to be with our audio.
So do you record your own, or is that where the other guy comes in?
We record it through Discord.
Okay.
Yeah. So how did you guys do your recording when you guys were doing PGCR?
Everything was on Skype.
Oh my
and
God.
And then I would be recording through Audacity on my computer.
Oh my God, that was a nightmare. I remember those days. But no, it has come like miles above in technology since like back then, like the early days of all of us podcasting. Like everything is in, we do it in Discord now, and there's a little bot that we can turn on, and it separates my audio and his audio, and then it does a mix down on top of everything else. So be like, oh, if you don't want to tweak anything, here's what the app believes is the best mixdown. So you can use that. And
that super awesome.
Yeah. It's the shit that we went through trying to record, and Skype never worked very well for me because where I lived, I had a really shitty internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
So recording Skype was, that was some of our worst audio that we ever had. So, yeah, getting away from all of that. And, I mean, we did crazy shit. Like, we both have Audacity open, and he would record his side, and then I would record my side. And then we would try to, like, sync them up and put them together. And it's just, I'm really disappointed that we don't have like our first 12 episodes. I think the first 11 episodes. But then on the other hand, I'm like, maybe it's good that these don't exist anymore.
Huh. Yeah. And I remember also Audacity used to crash probably every 10th episode.
Yep. And you didn't know it until it was too late.
Yeah. And that my heart would break every time, but every time I'd remember how to do it. But it took probably 2 hours to recapture it all. I could save it.
Oh, but that's good.
There was a way to go back and actually save it through the archives. And then all my editing, I mean, that's one thing I don't miss about the podcast. I probably gave up 10, 15 hours a week of my life.
Oh, I guarantee it. I completely believe that. And with the way we do it through Discord, there's nothing. I mean, it's just we don't do any other extra editing out of our live recording. We just mix it down straight from that, and out the door it goes to iTunes.
So that's awesome.
Oh God, it's the best ever. But I wanted,
you're welcome.
Yeah, I know, right? No, I wanted to. You were one of my three people that I wanted to take a little bit of time and talk to in the lead up to our 100th episode. I'm already recording too, just letting you know. Did I ever tell you that PGCR episode was the very first podcast that I ever did? I had no experience in doing it. I just happened to come across the podcast. I was just doing.
I was wondering. I thought you were implying that you were on the show.
No. I'm talking.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking. The episode that we did with me, you, and Zanny and Mystery. That was my very first experience in podcasting.
God, that was the end of PGCR, pretty much.
Yeah, that was.
I lost it.
Yeah, it was right towards the end of y'all's run. And but that was my first foray, and I think I had only discovered you guys maybe a couple of months before that. And when you guys put out the, well, whenever it was that you put out the call, because I think, God, I think we like prepared for like, what, 6 months for this, like,
oh, yeah,
1 hour segment that was pretty much, we bullshit our way through anyway.
It was nothing but Spider-Man and furries.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Those were the good old days. But no, I was just like, you know, we're coming up on 100 episodes, and I wanted to do something that I thought was like really kind of meaningful for me. So I was like, well, you know, I'm going to like get like what I consider the godfathers of podcasting for me. And I'm not trying to like fucking blow smoke up your ass, because I mean, I already, you know, you're already got that on your own, but, but no, it was just like, you know, I wanted to talk to you and like get your thoughts on, you know, kind of leaving PGCR, but, you know, still, you know, following all the other podcasts that were still kind of in that circle of community. And there's, you were, even though you weren't actively doing anything, like you were still a part of the community. You were still, you know, you were commenting and making jokes, and you're probably one of the most talked about people, especially in the early days, you know. But I honestly was just like a, you know, I just wanted to like shoot the shit with you for like maybe 20-30 minutes.
Life after podcast.
Life after podcast. God, we could do a whole series on that.
Well, here's the crazy, and this is one benefit towards listening to you guys, because you guys have great chemistry. I really love listening to you guys. The only reason I'm behind is just because I've moved to different segments of right. listening to different things. But you are literally the only gaming podcast I listen to, which you guys don't really talk about video games much.
Not really. Like we did in the early days, and then he and I are really similar, and we only play like the same things over and over again. We don't branch out and play, you know, we don't try to keep up with whatever the latest and greatest is. We're just going to play whatever interests us, and if that is what keeps our attention for a year, then that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So,
and I think sometimes that can get a little stale, but not to kind of like pat my own back on that, but I completely agree. I think the chemistry that Oreo and I have kind of created on the show is really good. Even I can see that, and you're going back, I don't even listen to my own stuff. Like I never listen to anything that I ever recorded, but unless it's like, for maybe 2 or 3 minutes to be like, oh, we sounded really good, or oh, fuck, we sounded like shit, you know? And that was pretty much all we did. But I've learned with doing shows with Oreo, we can just seamlessly move from topic to topic with no planning, with no like forethought. It was just like, we might talk about this, but then we may end up talking about furries. Anything in between, you know?
Did I miss a furry episode?
No, I don't think so. I mean, no. Maybe we should do a furry episode here soon. I think we probably
because
should.
I just listened to the crypto one, which was one, right after the one where Oreo was having a conversation with himself while you were gaming and on mute.
He's really bad about that. He's really bad about just showing up. And, you know, I had set my headset down, and I was just like, well, he'll show up when he shows up. And I didn't hear it because, you know, I've got noise-canceling headphones when I game, so I don't hear anything. And I don't know what it was. It was just there was like a low point, and I took my headphones off, and I just kept hearing something. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I pick up my other headphones, and I'm like, oh, motherfucker.
I think he likes a challenge.
Oh, he does.
I think, and quite frankly, I mean, maybe 30 minutes into it, I was like, maybe I should fast forward, but I was like, I gotta hear what happens next. So, I mean, the things that you guys got going on is good. So it's almost like, when I think, Q-Stick and Ovary. It goes together just like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, I think it's a good combination. And there was one really unique episode you guys did in your first or second season that for some reason I can't remember, but I don't know, but you guys have something good going on, and you guys are countering the whole thing, because me and Heeb and Skills have most definitely talked about, bringing the show back. But the biggest thing that stopped us is, first of all, we're older, we have more things going on right now, but
Right.
what the fuck are we going to talk about? Because games right now really suck.
Yeah. I
They're
completely
horrible.
agree. Completely agree.
It's an abomination what they've done. I mean, that's a whole different spectrum to go off to. But I mean, I want to play video games so bad, and I loved the podcast days. I loved the community. And there was a time where I was still holding on to gaming. And I was getting together when the Drunken Halo group was big and going. Like we have the gaming nights. I think it was like Monday nights.
Right.
And I wanted to, and I love the community, I love the people, but I just couldn't stand the games.
I totally get that. I really do, and that's and I think that's one of the reasons why, we harp on Halo for so much is for us that are, the older gamers, it hasn't or it hasn't followed us. It hasn't continued to grow and be something for us. It's just like they keep pandering to the younger generations, which is fine. I mean, it gets them people buying and whatnot, but there's so many other games that are out there, even if they're shit games, that that generation's just going to bounce from game to game to game to game, where we grew up playing Halo and that's all we played. And
Yeah.
it's like we're just I kind of feel alienated, and I kind of feel like our generation, especially at our age now, like we're not supposed to be playing video games. Even though our generation has really struggled, and we finally might have a little bit of money that we can spend on gaming now. Like we're there. We finally kind of got a little better in life, and they just kind of forgot about us, and it really sucks.
No, I totally get you. But we do have some golden, like we have the Master Chief Collection, which I know for you, has it started working on the campaign yet or no?
I think everything is working now, but I uninstalled it. I downloaded it for the Avenging Crusade
You
game
hate
night.
uninstalled it?
Yeah, I uninstalled it. It's I mean, it's just I don't. Number one, a lot of the people that I play with, they just don't play it anymore. So I've always been kind of a social gamer, especially, as I gotten older. So if I don't have anybody to play with, I don't really generally play. I'll find something else to do with my time. So as people kind of migrated away from Master Chief Collection, because in those early days, it was a train wreck, and it's like, oh, just stick with it, it'll get better. I'm like, it's like an abusive relationship, and they just keep telling me they're going to change, and I'm just keep falling for it. And and finally I've been able to, pack my stuff, and I left at 2 o'clock in the morning when Halo was asleep, and fortunately I've been able to kind of, not get sucked back into it and back into that toxic relationship.
Well, did he at least get it like an Uber drive home?
There's
Taxi cab money or something?
it was like the walk of shame. I was kidding. I had my high heels in one hand,
Oh.
but it just really sucks. And I think it was like we outgrew Halo, or Halo undergrew us, and it's just going a different direction. And
Yeah, no, it's 3 for 3.
No, I agree. It's a
They're
hundred
terrible.
percent. Yeah, it's 100% 343. Everything was good, or at least tolerable pre-3.
Tolerable with
Yeah,
reach, yes.
yeah. Which I mean, I liked Reach for what it was. I mean, I loved the game, the custom games, and that's what I was there for, because it was that real first customizability that you could get really cool maps and do lots of cool stuff, and that's what really sold me on Halo Reach. But it really was kind of the beginning of the end of what we considered what Halo was. Because, you know, when Halo 4 came out, it was Halo trying to be like everything else that's going on. They were trying to be just another shooter instead of, you know, being the trendsetter that Halo was for the first, you know, 3-4 games, if you include ODST.
Yeah, I will give Halo 4 props, though. The multiplayer was fun and good.
Oh, yeah.
The campaign was god-awful.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, even though I kind of harp on Halo 4, I hold a special place in my heart for Halo 4 because that's when I really was getting involved with all of the different groups. That's when I discovered PGCR. It's when I discovered Drunken Halo. And I was playing, and, you know, you'd have the game nights, and I would, you know, get to play with everybody. And, you know, that's how I met you. That's how I met Zansulu. That's how I met Mystery, was through that Halo 4 kind of community that kind of grew up around it. So despite all of its flaws, it still has like the rose colored glasses. It's still special in my heart. But Halo 5, goddamn. So bad. I have never finished the campaign. I always play through it on normal just to get through to get the story. Mm-hmm. And I've never finished a Halo story and been like, no, I'm done. Yeah. I don't ever want to play it again. And I didn't. And then I know Drunken Halo, they were trying to do they had the whole clan system, and they were trying to do,
they were hardcore on that.
Yeah. They got real deep into it. Cause they were going after the Achilles armor or something like that.
Yep.
And
all for armor. What the fuck?
Yeah. All for armor. And I remember, I can't remember if I reached out to Travis or Travis reached out to me about joining their clan, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'll do whatever you need to do. Sure. You know, I'm still trying to love Halo. And he added me to the Slack chat for their clan. And I never played a game after that. Like I think I uninstalled it, turned it off, never played it again. And it was 3 or 4 months later, he sends me a text message and he's like, hey, I don't want to be mean or anything, but you're not playing. I have somebody that wants your spot in the clan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, dude, you know, you're not offending me. I'm not upset. You know,
God, what an asshole.
Yeah.
You took up a spot.
Yeah. I was just took up a fucking spot. And
you know, I wanted to be on that clan so bad. Oh, they said it's full.
Tough shit, man. You got to be quicker than that. But yeah, I tried to play the multiplayers for it and I couldn't get into it. I couldn't figure out, the movement felt really just completely foreign to me. And mm-hmm. all of the extra abilities, the ground pounding and the, I don't know, the other shit. I couldn't wrap my mind around like making it work. And it just, the whole, like, and I'll give them credit. They were building maps to account for all of these new abilities. I just didn't know how to utilize the new abilities to make it work. So
yeah.
I just got frustrated and quit. And then I played a lot of Destiny after that. And you know, I really enjoyed Destiny and all that. And then they started to, you know, the rumors of, oh, we're going to get a Halo 6 and this is going to be like the end of the second trilogy. And, you know, and then it morphed into this Halo Infinite thing, and then it's supposed to be like, oh, we have a 10-year game that we're going to put out, and it's going to be 10 years of updates and all this extra content. And once again, that toxic relationship, I was like, oh, he's changed, you know. And so I buy the game at release and sit down and do like I'm going to do, like I'm going to play through the campaign and you know, get that feeling of Halo back. And it sucked. It's like there's a theme, you know.
I don't know. I think I like the campaign. I think. And I remember playing through it a second time just to get to get the skulls and stuff like that, to mm-hmm. see what else I missed and to wander around the land. There's a lot of things they did right with the campaign. And I was extremely furious when they introduced a grapple hook, because it goes against every logical idea of a science fiction shooter in the future. But
That's a really
for the
good
open
point.
field, it worked. Say what?
Now that's a really good point. No, I hadn't thought of it quite like that. That the grapple hook really is incredibly archaic, and you know, and then to put you're right. I had never really thought of it like that.
Oh, dude, I will tell you the story. And I was the dark eclipse in the Drunken Halo Snapchat or Slack, because I remember finally getting excited when the first trailer or reveal came up for Halo Infinite. And I was actually kind of excited. I was at work watching in the break room on my phone. And I think the grapple hook made its appearance like maybe like 45 seconds into it. And I literally dropped my phone and slid my chair back, thinking just like, what the fuck? What,
What
I
have they
mean,
done?
it makes no logical sense whatsoever, none at all. But
No, you're absolutely right. And I think my biggest problem with the campaign itself was if you didn't play the Halo Wars games, you'd have no clue what's going on.
that's true.
You know,
That's true.
you could just play, you know, if you played Halo 1 and then you picked up Halo 2, you knew what was going on. Same thing from 2 to 3, and believe it or not, even from, you know, 3 to 4 and 4 to 5, you knew what was going on. And I remember watching, I think it was like the opening cutscenes, like just getting ready to play the game, and the Red Brute walks out, and I'm just like, oh yeah, he's from Halo Wars. And I've only played the Halo Wars, you know, a couple of times. I played through the campaign once each, I think. And I played some of the multiplayer stuff with Mystery, but I didn't really buy in. I really w didn't follow that part of the lore. So I was just sitting here watching and going, "Fuck, I need to go back and brush up on Halo Wars and all that to kind of catch up what's going on." And then it just kind of hit me. I was like, they're really digging deep into the story that not a lot of people that are casual game or Halo fans, they have no fucking clue what's going on. And
Myself included.
yeah, it's I thought that was a real strange, like, turn in a different direction that I was not anticipating with their story. But yeah, open world wise, and the stuff that you could do, and the vastness of the space that you had to be able to play in, I thought that was really cool. I'll give them that, and it was visually very pretty.
Oh, and also the music when you hit certain spots,
Yes.
when you triggered some nostalgic old airs.
Right.
That was, I literally would sit on top of the mountain just to hear the whole song.
Yeah, I totally get that. I totally get that. And so they did a lot of things right, but they did so much wrong with their release. And the idea of releasing a Halo game without Forge, without its core multiplayer games. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, okay, people play through the campaigns, but it's not the campaign that keeps bringing people back. Halo 2 had one of the best stories in the history of gaming, in my opinion. But I'm not going back to play Halo 2 for the story. I'm going to go back and play the multiplayer because that shit was fun. Infinite didn't have that. And I was really, I don't want to say I was offended because that makes it sound way worse than it is. But as a fan, I kind of was offended because it was very evident that corporate executives made the decisions about where we were going to go with Halo, and not the people that were actually knew what the game was about and knew what, you know, what really mattered to the fans. And I think they've paid the ultimate price. I would be. I know that they're working on developing something else beyond Halo Infinite, and they may be changing the engine that they're working in, and all this stuff may change. But I don't know if they, I don't know what Halo could do to bring back the fans, or even, I'll say even 30% of the fans that left. You know, I personally don't know what they could do to bring me back. That would be like, oh my God, I've got to go back and play Halo again. I've got to, you know, organize game nights with the community so we can all play together again. I would love to know, you know what I mean? I would love to see that, and I would love to know what they could do, but.
In my eyes, I'd say Halo's has run its course. It's kind of like Rambo 1, 2, 3, and 4. The kill count just increases exponentially per movie, and Halo's doing the same thing, and you can't backtrack, and the only way to bring back Halo into a good, pure form is simple, stupid. A small selection of maps. This bullshit that they do since Halo 4 and beyond, where not only do you have like 30 fucking maps that you have to try and memorize, they're also changing the maps, moving around weapons, because they did a shitty job in designing the map in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to go back and play Halo 4, 5, and maybe even not Infinite ever again, because I work my ass off trying to memorize these maps, and I'm going to go back in, and first of all, I'm 45. My hand-eye coordination is not as good anymore, and I don't know the maps anymore. It doesn't make me want to play.
Yeah, that's absolute. I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head, and it's just the crux of us, like, old geezer gamers that, you know, we need slow games, and we need games that, you know, lets you just, you know, have one or two buttons. We need to go back to the days of, you know, Pong, because our hands are so damn arthritic from, you know, 30 years of gaming, then our hands are all crippled. And I've run into that here lately when I play like long sessions of gaming, like my joints get really sore, and I have to take my wedding band off because my fingers swell. Man, like, this is, I'm so old. I remember that I could go like all night long playing, you know, any given button smasher and be completely fine and go to school the next day and not give a shit. And now it's like, oh, I gotta be in bed by 9:30. You know, it's really sad. So you're saying that, you know, there is a very minute possibility that the band may get back together again?
Oh, PGCR?
Yeah.
Oh, no way in hell.
Damn.
And plus, here. So this is life after podcasting.
All right.
I look back at it, and it was incredible. I met some incredible people. You, Real, O versus O, Eagle Man. Met the Dragon Halo people through that. I'm going to be missing people. I know it. But people that I've considered to be close friends that I'm a better person knowing because of them. And still some people I still text and message to this day. I would never give that up. But then also you got creative people. Like you have you and Overy. So I'm sure that you guys have disagreements and stuff like that of like, you know, what time to get on, or maybe little spouts on disagreements, on arguments of some sort. When you add 4 to 6 hosts that all have their passions and things that they're thinking of, I mean, it can get heated sometimes. And then you got the fans that keeping track of them and little arguments that start up in between them and drama and so forth, and it gets tough.
That's a fair point. I don't think I could manage a podcast that had more than maybe 3 people. Oreo and I work really well just one-on-one, that even adding a third sometimes, it's like, hey, this is, we bounce and we play off each other and we keep the conversation going and all that. And I don't know if I would be able to know when I need to be quiet, and then on top of that, know when I needed to talk, you know? And yeah, I think that would be really hard. That's something that I never thought about, is you guys did have, you and then you were structured. You had, you know, you had your fan mail segments, and I remember Gagnon was doing the baseball thing, and
I loved it. I loved the Hilo baseball.
I thought it was really freaking cool. I thought it was a neat idea, and I don't know what program or what was he running that on.
I don't know. I mean, the work and effort he put into that, Gagnon was incredible.
Yeah.
He did a lot of our art, like our can't think of the right words, but he did all the creative stuff when it comes to digital art.
Mm.
He did pretty much. I would tell him my theme that I wanted him to do for the next episode. If it, one time we talked about Whitney Houston getting the crap beat out of her by Bobby Brown. So we had a podcast like PGCR episode 137 and a picture of Whitney Houston crying on the front. So
that's great. I love it. But yeah, no.
But he was incredible, and the Hilo baseball was. I actually dove in deep into the stats, and
the competition
fact was there. It was so good.
I thought it was great. I thought it was something that I had never really seen before, and mm-hmm. it was such a cool idea and such a cool concept. And the way you guys ran the show is it really did feel like a radio show. Like you had segments and you had, okay, we're going to transition to this and somebody's going to cover this. And then in the middle you were like making prank phone calls and which I loved those.
I just listened to one that was incredible.
But
my GameStop calls, yeah, I loved them so much.
We tried that, and I don't know if the episode still exists or not. But Oreo was, I think he had a subscription to like 24-hour fitness or something like that, and he was calling their customer service line for I think to cancel his subscription, whatever it was. And we did it on the show. Like we're going to do this live on the show, and we call 24-hour fitness and they're closed. So we have this like probably hour rant of why a 24-hour fitness place is closed. And it was one of my favorite episodes that I think we ever did, because it was so out there, and it was something I'd never made prank phone calls when I was a kid. That was something I never did. So, you know, doing it as a young adult was like, oh, this is awesome. But yeah, it's been really cool. Like I said, what you guys did on PGCR really laid the groundwork for myself in what I wanted to do in podcasting, because I now that I'm doing it so much, and I've done a couple of other different podcasts and different shows and done guest hosting and all that stuff. It's something that I've really found that I have a passion for and really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And, that was like, I wanted to have, you know, Wrabowski on here and, you know, just kind of reminisce for the good old days for a little bit because of it. So, but, what are your impressions of the first 100 episodes of Pigs Pod? If you could sum up Pigs Pod in the first 100 episodes in maybe a sentence, two sentences if you need it, what would it be?
I have an idea, but I would say I can't believe you guys aren't bigger.
Wow. Thank you.
First of all, yeah, you guys cover a lot of stuff, but you're not politically correct. And that's one thing that handicapped us a lot too.
Yeah.
That's why the Bortacular is still going strong.
Oh my God.
But it's the most boring, bullshit, crappy podcast out there. And it used to be great.
Yeah, no, it did. Because that was one of the other ones that I was listening to. Like after I exhausted all of the other podcasts that I actually enjoyed, I still mm-hmm. wanted to get, I still needed something to listen to at work. And that was the like bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's the very bottom of the peanut butter jar, you know, and that's what the Podtacular was. Snooze-tacular. It's just, You know, they just released, it was 152 this week, or 800, excuse me, 852 episodes.
It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
But I give him props, and he's no different from, I forget what the name of the, he beat me in the final Halo tournament I was in. What is his name?
The last Halo.
Dust Storm.
Dust Storm, yeah. Dust Storm. Wait, he knocked you out? I don't remember that.
Well, I since I won the first one, I got to pick who I played in the second
one. Yeah, and it completely backfired.
So that was you know what? If life would have been different and wouldn't have fell apart like it did, I think I was already on my way out by far.
You should have just quit while you're on top, man. You should have refused to come back for another tournament and be like, no, this is it. I'm not going to defend my title. I'm taking it and going home.
Nope. Michael Jordan came back with the number 45, and I do not regret that one bit whatsoever. That's what I did.
So I
came back. I cried a little bit, and
so you also took a second retirement amidst a bunch of gambling accusations. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Gambling, prostitution, one of the two.
Yeah, take your pick. That's fine. I was trying to, you know, I was trying not to throw you too far under the bus.
But also other things that you guys did, you guys had some really good mixes too. There's one mix that you guys mentioned that I forgot about, but the one I really thought was incredible was the one that Oreo did on Macklemore.
Oh yeah, a shit flop.
How the fuck did that not blow up? It was so well done.
I think it has maybe 200 views on YouTube.
Yeah, still. I've looked at it myself, and yeah. I am baffled on why something that was so good, so well put together, and he did great. His voice is perfect for it.
I think that that's the conspiracy that Microsoft and 343 in general really went out of their way to censor us.
Yeah,
and like we've been like shadow banned for the last 10 years, so like we just not gonna blow up until we like, you know, take the deep throat of the Master Chief cock the way the Snooze-tacular thing has done.
Yeah, no, I get it. Well, you remember back in the day too, where Dust and Echoes. You remember them?
Vaguely, I think that was might have been right around when I first started listening.
Okay, because that was two English guys, and for the life of me, I can't remember, but they just started doing a podcast also right towards the beginning, the mid-range of Drunken Halo, and they were prim and proper, and they were good.
Oh,
they were
yeah, really good. I remember them. Yeah, I remember them now.
But I wish I could remember the handles. I mean, I played with them so much, but they were good. They were listed on Bungie's website. They blew the fuck up. And because they were prim and proper.
Yeah.
And I
know that's going to be, like our handicap for probably ever, is because we don't censor, we don't pull punches. You know, we have discussions about things that we put things in a light that probably wouldn't, we really couldn't be overly commercial.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine. That's what we never intended to be that anyway, but I do completely agree that's probably why we will never fully blow up the way, you know, part of me really wants that because it would be really cool to have all of these, you know, community driven stuff and all that. But then like more of me is more, I don't really want to have to, you know, like you said, the more people you have involved, you end up with more drama, you end up with more bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that either. So I'm kind of happy that we're like plugging along at, you know, tens of views a week.
Have they released stats a little bit better so you can see the downloads and
yeah,
views?
I can't remember the name of the, but we mostly go through like, Spotify, but I can't remember the name of the host that we use. but we're able to keep track of stuff like that, and it's really well broken down in, you know, mobile views or desktop views or regional mm-hmm. views and things like that. So it's really, really nice. Oreo won't tell me everything in the stats because he knows that I'll fret over the numbers because that's what I do. But
it does make you a little stir crazy.
Oh,
the numbers.
It drives me crazy. You know, I will post something on social media, especially with this, you know, something to the PixPod, and then I'll check it like 3 minutes later and be like, oh, did anybody like it? Did anybody see it? And I try not to be that person, but I'm absolutely that, like, attention whore.
It's tough.
It is. Doing our episodes and stuff through Twitch, I can keep track of what's going on that side, and Oreo can't keep that from me. But we're slowly starting to grow on Twitch. We went from one or two viewers a night, and now we're up to maybe 10 or 12 a night.
Gotcha.
And that's just, and honestly, the biggest thing for us doing that is I saw a huge difference in our viewership when I changed the title for our show each week. I went from Pig's Pod episode 71 to the Politically Incorrect Gamers Podcast episode 71. And I don't want
to... Next week, try Puffy Nipples.
All right, got it.
Yeah.
Cool. No problem. I'll do the Pig's Pod Puffy Nipples podcast. Yeah, I like it. But I think that actually really made a difference, and I think that changed how we show up in the Twitch searches. So we've been really successful with that. It's really strange when we'll be in the middle of doing a show and somebody that I do not recognize, you know, no clue who they are, just like starts having a conversation with the other people in the chat. And you're like, mm-hmm. Holy shit. Like, he actually wants to listen to us. Like, I don't expect anybody to ever listen to anything I put out there. You know, it's just like, I'm putting it out there because I put out content that I think I would like to listen to if I wasn't creating it. And that's kind of where I leave it. And then when you see these other people that are listening to it and watching it, you're like, oh, they like me. They really like me. So, all right. Well, so we covered the first 100 episodes. What would be your advice, the old grizzled podcast gamer guy from, you know, way back when? What would your advice be to us for the next 100 episodes?
If you want viewers,
nipples.
No. Well, yeah. Consistency. I can't even say the word right now.
Yeah.
That is huge. Huge.
Yeah. It's made a big difference for us being more scheduled, and, you know, episodes come out on Mondays. Our live show is on Sunday nights, and you are. That is the number one piece of advice that anything like this that people are doing, that is absolutely the truth, is it 100% consistency.
Yeah, and it's good on you too. When we first started the podcast, when you're trying to arrange things in between like five people, we were trying to figure out dates and times and when to get together. It probably took about a half a year to finally crack down on, we get together on Tuesday at 6:00. If you're not there, fine.
Yeah.
We're doing it without you, but Tuesday, that is the day. Be there, be the square.
And I like that because it becomes a thing where you have to tailor your time around that time slot. Like, this is where I need to be. I have to be here or I'm not going to be a part of it. And yeah, that was, I don't think we could ever bounce around from like day to day. There's no way. Even though we would get really bad, and, you know, we'd miss like one or two weeks, would turn into 6 months, would turn into a year. One of the things we still always tried to do was whatever day of the week at whatever time we decide to do it, that's when we have to keep doing it. And yep. Cause I think we first started doing, I think our episodes were like Wednesdays, and then they got moved back to Mondays, and then we were on hiatus for like a year, and Sunday nights is just now perfect because both my kids and his kids, they're all going to bed around 9 o'clock. So the house is a little bit quieter, and I've got more free time, and everything is just easier. So the consistency is paramount.
Yep.
Cool.
I would say the next thing, which is paramount, and it's tough because games suck right now, but if you want to get a big viewership and a lot of people, you got to find your niche and your main subject at least. Because a lot of kids that listen that might like you half to death, if they hear a episode about crypto, I mean, they're probably out.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you this. You talk about your doing your taxes. Holy fuck, having 50 different lines of losses and gains. Oh, I did not think about that.
It was a fucking nightmare. And
yeah.
I thought I had decided last year that I was not going to do, I was going to take a whole year off from trading crypto or anything, because I just didn't want to have to pay that much just to have my taxes done. And so when I started prepping our taxes and everything this year for last year, I was like, okay, I think, okay, it's my W-2, her W-2. I didn't do any DoorDash. So I think that's it. I think we're good. And the day I was sitting down to start putting all my stuff together, I get a text message from one of the crypto platforms, or not a text message, an email. And they're like, oh, just so you know, what form, whatever, is going to be prepared and sent out to you on March the 1st. I'm like, fuck. So then I have to, like, so I went and I went back and I had to sign into all of my, because I use like four different crypto apps, and I had to sign into all four of them and be like, did I make trades last year? And everything I did last year, I sold off everything that I had with the exception of just a little bit of stuff, like the second week of January last year. So I was like, fuck. So I'm going to have to deal with this year. So I'm still waiting. I've got all the forms. So I'm going to have one more year of all that. And I was like, crypto has run its course. I'm not going to go back and dabble in crypto. I don't think it'll ever be as lucrative and volatile as it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, but that's the other thing too, is I've never been able to fully nail down what I want our audience to be, because it's with Oreo and I both, becoming, we're parents, we're older gamers. So, being able to sit and talk about the newer games that are really popular among the kids is not something that we've never really done, because we don't do it. Like, we don't play Fortnite and stuff like that. So it's hard to pander. Pander is probably not the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's hard to pander to that audience for those viewers when I don't really have anything in common with them. So being able to, and then doing episodes where, we talk about crypto, we talk about doing our taxes and all of these like really adult things that we never thought we would ever have to do when we were, 14, 15 years old. I think I really want our audience to be that generation of gamer that is supposed to have, more responsibilities and be more responsible. And you're like, oh, you should be, trimming the hedges in front of the house instead of playing Call of Duty. That type of person is where I really want to be. But trying to continually find content that really, reaches out to that audience is number one, difficult. And number two, reaching out to them themselves and getting them to actually be like, oh, you know, I'm going to take the time to listen to a podcast, or I'm going to take the time and, you know, listen to the live show on my phone or something like that. So it's the ease of consuming media today has made it so much more difficult for, I guess, groups like us that do podcasting to really reach out to these people again, because there's just so many different avenues for people to consume stuff that you, like, we have to spread ourselves so thin.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about trying to stream on TikTok and trying to stream on YouTube and, you know, there for a while we were streaming on Facebook and, you know, trying to be everywhere all at once. And then, okay, we might have 4 viewers over here and 1 viewer over here and then no viewers on these other 2. And it's just really hard. I guess since you haven't caught up on the episodes, we just relaunched our website.
Okay.
And you'll love it. It's got a place for, leaving remarks for the pigs.
Okay.
But we're consolidating all of our content onto the website. We're not going to use Facebook as much because it's not really been that lucrative without having to pay for ad space to get in front of people.
Yeah, which is complete bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. And then I've never been really good at using Twitter.
I hate Twitter.
Yeah, every time I'm like, I'm going to use Twitter. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to hashtag things. And then I will. You think that mine and Oreo's, like, our podcasting schedules were like sporadic? You should see my tweets on Twitter. It's, you know, I'll have like 2 tweets from 6 months ago, and then 3 years before that, I'll have another tweet, and that's it. And it's like, I don't get it. That doesn't make any sense to me. Oreo, he's big on that, and he's had a lot of success in interacting with people in the community and not just other gamers like us, but he's been able to interact with game developers and streamers and some of the pro guys and stuff like that. So he's been really successful with that, and he's really kind of been cultivating that presence. But I've never understood it. So we're going to continue, as far as I'm concerned, we're going to continue existing in a podcast form through iTunes, Spotify, Zune, whatever the fuck, I don't know. And then we're going to do our weekly episodes on Twitch, and that's kind of it, as far, you know, if we start becoming popular and moving up the ladder in popularity on those platforms, great. If not, I get to spend a couple hours each week complaining about shit, and that's kind of, it's really therapeutic for me.
Oh yeah, I think your best shot nowadays is, unless you want to pay for it, it's word of mouth.
Right. Yeah.
You grab a hold of a couple of people, you got them for life. While you were talking, I was still listening, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're nodding off thinking about early bird supper. I know. It's getting late for you.
I was rubbing one off, and I was thinking.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
We should be on video. You get quite a show. But
I can't stream that. Well, I mean, I can, but you know, we haven't got our OnlyFans account set up yet.
If I were to come back, I think the ultimate formula I would do is rehashing old games. So let's say if we wanted to focus on, like, my favorite games would be like Splinter Cell, BioShock, Halo, the Call of Duties, going back to the Mass Effects, of Advent Rising, if we could go back to Super Nintendo and stuff.
Gotcha.
But that would be something I'd want. Let's say, like, for example, we wanted to focus on Splinter Cell, Chaos Theory. So nice. We'd all get together, we'd play entire first level mission, and we discuss it. We talk about it. We talk about funny moments that happened or whatever. And I think that might be a way to grab the older gamers.
I like that. I got out of the habit of doing it, and I'm trying to refocus it for myself doing my own streaming and stuff, but I was doing a bunch of retro games on Twitch. I went back and started with Duke Nukem. I was playing Doom.
Doom is so crazy. It's
so good. And I had done Star Wars TIE Fighter and X-Wing and the old PC games that I grew up playing. You know, those are the ones that I was kind of like, okay, these are the direction that I want to go. And you're right. It actually did really well. And some of the best streams I had back when I was doing it was the retro games. Because people like it. People like going back and having that nostalgia and you know, talking about certain things that are like, oh man, I remember when this happened, or stuff like that. So that's a really cool idea, and that would be a lot of fun.
To
go back and visit really, it's kind of sad to say it like this, but really old games.
The good games. Back when they actually put effort in there. Gears of War would be one of the ultimates.
That'd be fun. That's a really good idea. You should get on that. You should absolutely get on that, because I could expand my library of things to listen to. And that's the whole thing. Like when I would talk to you, or I'd talk to Skills and be like, hey, you know, you guys really ought to come back. You know, and it's not like this altruistic thing of, you know, knowing that this is something you guys really enjoyed and I want you guys to be happy. No, I'm just really bored and I want some new shit to listen to. So
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it is. All right. Go ahead.
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think so. Can keep on going. But.
Oh yeah, that's the thing, is I could too, and I'm like, okay, that's, I have an hour of content. I think I can work with that.
Just scratch out you. Well, I'm just glad that Overy wasn't here, because I feel like you and me have a better connection.
Our rapport is so much better. And
oh, yeah.
I think the chemistry is 10 times better. It's just better.
Hey, what would you say to the, like, who owns the IP and the website to PigsPod?
Oh, it's all Oreo, because he's
fuck.
Oh, I know. I can only do so much.
Do you get the passwords and stuff like that?
No, not right now, because he's in the process of he's getting into coding and web design as part of his career. So he's building the website from, you know, the code up. He's not going through a publishing website or a template website. He's building everything from the ground up. So we're kind of hamstrung on that one. But
I was trying to see if we could kick him out and kind of bring me in and could be the Lebowski and Cusick show and stuff. But
it may not fit for what we're doing and what we'd call the show. But there for a while, I don't know if it's still available or not. But I think the Bryce brothers gave up their jtpodcasts.com.
Oh yeah.
And it's all like Chinese porn, Chinese anime porn. It's on the website now.
Ours is like Korean panties.
That's great. Absolutely great. It's so fitting.
I am still upset that I gave up, because I had full access to our website, and someone else decided to create one for us. And so I was like, you know what? Okay, go ahead. But then I lost control, and so therefore they got taken down. So if anything, I think that was probably the most heartbreaking thing, is knowing that we weren't on the internet anymore.
Yeah. That's what really hurt. I mean, it really upset me as well when we took our first hiatus. We were using Libsyn for all of our like hosting stuff for the episodes, for like the RSS feed and all that. Mm-hmm. And Libsyn is very authoritarian when it comes to paying your bills. If you don't pay a month, they delete your shit. Like, and that's, I mean, you can call them and they can, depending on how long it's been, they might be able to recover it. But if you miss a payment, they're done. Like, you're fucking on your own.
Oh,
so
like a storage facility.
Yeah. It's gone. And so episodes, our first 6 or 7 episodes are just gone. We don't have, because that was my number one thing I wanted to do for episode 100 was to go back and pull like clips from like the first 10 or 20 episodes and be like, this is where we were, this is where we are, and just kind of be like super nostalgic with the podcast. And I have audio from I think episode 11 forward, and I haven't gone back to really go through it yet because I had to recover it from an archive website. But the way Oreo and I were doing our audio back then to make everything work, we were, like I said, we were recording both sides and then mixing them. I think episodes 11, 12, and 13 that I have are just my side of the audio. So it's just a conversation that I'm having with a blank wall as far as the audio is concerned. So,
well, that might be better. You might get more viewers.
It could be cutting ovary out. Might make a difference.
Best, like a whole bunch of comments below, best episode ever. Can't put my finger on it.
Cool. But yeah. All right. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day and hanging out and being a part of the Pigs Pod community like you've been for nearly a decade in doing this, even though we've only done 100 episodes. It's really kind of sad.
Oh, and another thing I learned from you guys is we're alive. That was incredible.
Oh, yeah, really? Really?
And ironically, and this makes me feel shitty about our podcast, is they recorded at the exact same time as we recorded. It's from 2009 to 2014. And their sound quality and their quality in general was so good.
Yeah.
We were like little children eating their first chocolate cake for the first birthday.
Yep.
that's EGCR for you right there.
Yep. That's pretty accurate. It's like a busted, broken up, crunchy bag of Doritos. It's still good, but it's not the whole Dorito.
Yeah. Yeah. But sorry, I keep on the steering you aside. So.
No. No, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap up the recording here. So, once again, thank you. Appreciate you. You're the awesomest and the best. And hopefully we'll have you in again for episode 200.
Oh, can I do my outro?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you haven't done that in forever. Yes.
I don't know if I can still do it. Hold
on. Get all that phlegm out of the way. Let's go. Oh, God.
This is Wabowski, and I'm out. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you. I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Cause I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say yeah, right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but it's all in my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex anytime that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. And don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry. I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Cause a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do, and I'm gonna do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
He's the man. He's the man.
You the man.